kind of music doesn't make you happy, there's something bad, bad wrong in your heart and your head. This is like walking down Jackson Square right here, baby, with a big old fresh muffalata, big old fresh glass of sunshine mint tea.
I was thinking a hurricane, but whatever.
Welcome back, y'all, to Rosie on the House with Open Lines. I just ran through a 5-minute sermon on how not to save money on your summer and winter cooling and heating bills for Tom and Gilbert. That creates an open line because we took care of Tom. You can get in now at 1-888-767-4348. But I said that I wanted to give you all a homework assignment. I've already given you one earlier in the hour. I want a ski report from the Arizona Snow Bowl. You CAF listeners, you CASM listeners, you KQ&A listeners, anybody that's been up to the Snow Bowl in the last couple days, shoot me down a little report here. I've seen the live video cam, and it looks pretty good, but I want to talk to somebody who's actually been on the slope, on the hills. This MLK holiday, after I cook my gumbo and watch the football games tomorrow, I'm about this tempted to run up and spend a day on the slopes.
Do you have a favorite?
On the games?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I do have a favorite, the Cardinals and the Saints. But that ain't going to get me very far tomorrow, is it? But I have another homework assignment for y'all, and I want you in Maricopa County to listen to me very close. We're going to try and spread this out to the entire state, but right now our first effort at this is going to focus on Maricopa County because that's where the TV filming crew is. I need a home that was built in the 1950s. I need one home that was built in the 1960s. I need one home that was built in the 1970s, one home in the 80s, and one home in the 90s. I need 5 different homes, and here's our criteria. We need the home is in as close a condition of original as possible. So in the 50s home, we'd like it to have the steel, Torrance, single-pane glass windows, probably built out of masonry, and I'd like it without any room addition on it. So I need a vintage 50s, vintage 60s, vintage 70s, vintage 80s, and 90s home. And we are going to do a video photographic documentary of, for everyone that lives in each of these vintage homes, what you should do first to start saving on your energy bill. What you should do first to start improving your comfort level in the house. What you should do first to increase the appraisal value of this house. And we're going to do that by decade. So here's what I'd like for you to do. Email us at rosieonthehouse.com with a photo of the front of your home. And we'll start picking this out. And again, the film crew is in Maricopa County. We need to focus in the greater Phoenix metro area. We're going to expand this statewide, but our first effort is going to be right here in Maricopa County. Please email us at rosieonthehouse.com.
Jackie with on line one might be a candidate. She's calling in with a 1960s home.
Oh, look at there. Okay.
Jackie? Hello? Yes, ma'am.
Hi. It's not a home. It's a daycare. It's a commercial building, I guess you'd call it.
Okay.
Okay. What I started to notice is I've worked there for about 14 years, and that just recently, probably within the last year or so, that every time the water pipes just throughout the whole building started what I call humming. I don't know how else to put it. Mm-hmm. And it's progressively getting louder and louder to the point where I can hear when another classroom has turned on the sink in their bathroom.
Okay.
What could be the cause of that?
Well, the first thing you'd want to check is the water pressure that's being delivered to the property.
Okay.
Let's make sure we're under 65 pounds.
Okay.
If we're much higher than that, and you're in there at 32nd and Union Hills, the water tank is pretty high right there, depending on how close you're located to the loop, the feeder loop right there. We, in that area of town, we've seen pressures of 80, 90, almost 100 pounds. that will wear on all the gaskets and the seals in your plumbing line.
Mm-hmm.
And it will cause both air hammer and this water flow humming you're talking about.
Okay.
So if we're over 65 pounds, I'm going to encourage you to call our plumber for the west side of the valley, Ben Franklin Plumbing or Thunderbird Plumbing, and have him give you a quote for putting on a pressure-reducing valve right there as the water comes into the building. And I think you're probably going to solve the problem, and your plumbing fixtures are going to thank you because they're going to last longer as well.
Well, let me ask you this. What happens, because I don't own the building.
Okay.
Okay, and it's not necessarily known for being maintained very well. They don't put a lot of money into it.
Uh-huh.
What happens if it doesn't get taken care of?
Well, the humming will probably get worse as the valves and the faucets and everything start wearing down more and more and more. The plumbing fixtures will start dying out on you. You could probably create an air hammer sooner or later. It's just wearing all the plumbing system down faster than they need to be worn down. When that's going to manifest itself, anybody can guess, but eventually it will. It will cost close to nothing to check the pressure. You make sure everything in the building's turned off. You go to the neighborhood Ace Hardware store and you buy yourself a pressure meter. You screw that onto the hose bib that's closest to the water meter. You turn that hose bib on full blast. And if that dial goes over 65 pounds, then you know you need to do something. If it stays under 65 pounds, then we probably need to look somewhere else. A good pressure reducer valve, when we put one in, I like to encourage people to get rid of the gate valves, go to the full brass ball cock valves. You know, you're looking at, you know, probably something in the neighborhood of $600 to $800, but it's worth it.
See, that's just an example of what happens when things change. You know, I bet when Water Dog Willie's was still there, the water pressure was fine because he needed all for all his live and bait. And Water Dog Willie shuts down, the pressure goes through, the valves start breaking at daycare centers. Everything just goes.
And it's so hard to find water dogs anymore.
Oh, man. Goodness. Scott in Cave Creek, welcome to the program. How may we help
you? Well, I've got a painting question for you. I had a registered painter come out and paint my house. And I had some effervescence on my house. My house is made out of synthetic stucco. So he came out with a primer, and he rolled the primer on my stucco. And it filled up all of the little the texture.
Uh-huh.
So then he sprayed my house, and you can see all the spots all over the house where he rolled the locks on.
Oh, boy.
Rolled the locks on. So now I'm faced with, I called up Arizona Painting Company off the website, off your website, and they came out. And all they could recommend was to restucco the whole house.
Ouch!
Because they said they didn't know how, they couldn't guarantee what it would look like when it was done. So my question is, couldn't you just go back with locks on and roll the whole house again and fill? I don't care about if my house was smooth, I'm good with it at this point.
Are you?
Could that work?
Well, that can work. That's certainly an option. I'd be happy to come out and look at it for you for free. I was in the stucco business. That's how I kind of got started in construction back in the 70s. So I'm a bit of a stucco is probably one area I am an expert in. But I'm a little concerned with you use the word effervescence. Now, this is a framed stucco house or a masonry stucco house?
It's a framed stucco house.
See, you shouldn't be getting effervescence on a framed stucco house.
There'll be white lines in some places.
Well, I call it effervescence. They're just the white lines that appeared, and there wasn't even that many of them at the time. The guy just kind of created more work. I think when he did his painting, he wanted to kind of make it look like he was really doing a great job.
And
lines everywhere.
And he was trying. And I just want to make something perfectly clear. The painter that did the job was not a Rosie certified painter. You called a Rosie certified painter to come out and try and solve it, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, give me the opportunity to come out and just throw the old evil eye on it. There are ways that we can introduce a texture to those areas that are shining and spotting on you right now that I think we could probably feather it in and camouflage it without having to restucco the whole house. And I understand why the Arizona Painting Company recommended that, but that's a big job, and we might be able to cheat it just a little bit enough. And if we can't, then we can fill the all the texture and give you a smooth house like those patches are at this point.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. For your digital newsroom this week, we are continuing on our preparedness. We've broken it down into 12 basic items of preparedness for emergency situations in your home that, sometimes you just get caught off guard. Life isn't perfect, and when something happens, you want to make sure that you can provide for your family comfortably while you're getting through whatever the situation might be. We've started with water, and this month is food. There's a lot of great options for food. There's an R&R resource guide, just depending on how big your family is and how long you would like that storage. There's a lot of great options. You go to Honeyville Farms. They've got a location in Chandler, or you've got online resources, the off-the-grid survival. And Prescott supplies, and they've got dehydrated food that'll last 25 years. You can get meals, or you can get specific fruit or vegetable.
What is that store called? Off the Grid?
Survival, yeah.
Survival Off the Grid?
Off the Grid Survival.
Oh, okay. Off the Grid Survival.
And Prescott.
Kind of a cool little shop.
It is. And you can just get your supply of dehydrated food and put it in your they've got cherries, and they've got strawberries, and they've got, whatever you like, and it'll be good for 25 years. So you can start basic with that. If you like it a little bit fresher, you can go into Mylar bags and plastic buckets and seal it in different sizes.
I like that. We sealed up some beans and some rice with those Mylar heat strip sealers and stuff like that. That seems like a cool system.
It won't last you 25 years, but it keeps it insect and rodent and moisture free.
Good. I like my rice insect and rodent free.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And what that does is it allows you to buy in bulk. So even if you're not doing this for, like I said, it won't last you 25 years, but you obviously, like most things, you save when you buy in bulk. So it helps you, instead of having a grocery shop maybe once every month, depending on how many people are in the home, or once a week, you could stretch out to 3 or 4 weeks for some of those amenities. So we've got great listings at rosieonthehouse.com, emergency preparedness, select food, and then it'll just walk you through what's available, along with some books. There are some great books and resources. And if you really want to get, back, not necessarily over, but I mean, we've got book listings on there for canning, for how to dehydrate, how to do your own freezing, how to do your own butchering. I mean, so you can go from 25-year storage to actually making, growing, and having a replenishable food source.
How many of those hot pickled vegetables I saw in your pantry and then fig preserves have my name on them?
Come get what you want.
Now, so we can store rice. I just want to know, Jennifer, how are you going to store the gravy? Because I tell you, if I can't have rice and gravy, I don't want to live very long. Hey, we'll be back with more right here at Rosie on the House right after this. Y'all stay tuned.